Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, really excited about our guest today. This has been a conversation that I've actually been sitting on the edge of my seat waiting to have over the last couple of weeks when I was introduced to Michael Putnam, who I'll introduce to you here in a second. And as you guys know, I love adventure. I love doing hard things. And when he mentioned that he has a goal of summiting every peak in the 50 United States, the highest peak in every state, I was like, all right, this is my kind of guy. I got to get to know him, not only on a business level, but on a personal level as well. And so I instantly said, hey, I got to have you on my podcast. So Michael, thank you for taking the time to meet with me today and sharing with our whole enchilada community.
Marcus, thank you. And as you mentioned, my name is Michael Putnam. I'm the president of United Home Group Companies and expansion team within Keller Williams ecosystem. However, more importantly, I'm a family man. I've got my wife, Jamie, who I've known actually for over 40 years. It's every time I say that, people are like, what? How's that even possible? I know I don't look that old. However, my mom and her mom were room moms for our older siblings. And so we've known each other since before preschool. And we've been married now for almost 16 years. So luckily we came back into each other's lives about 22 years ago now. 21 years ago. I should always correct the record there. And then we had beautiful twin boys, Jack and Max, back about 8 years ago now. So that's what's most important to me. That's what is at the core of everything else I do. Business is great. Life is great. However, that's what truly motivates me to do the right things.
Love it. Love it. I think that will resonate with a lot of our community. You know, a lot of our people, the whole enchilada, are hardworking, hustling entrepreneurs, making life happen, but at the same time, not at the expense of what matters most, which is your family, your spirituality, your health, like all those things matter along the way. So I think you really resonate with the message. Real quickly, before we jump into the conversation around your goal of summiting on those mountains, tell us a little bit about United Home Group, how long you've been with that company. And for a lot of our listeners, maybe they don't know that name. If they don't, I don't know what rock they've been living under, if they've been in the real estate world, but it is a massive team. So just give us a quick background of how long you've been with the company and what you guys are about in United Home Group.
Yeah. So in 2012, I took BOLD, Business Objective Life by Design. I've taken it 13 times. And the first time I took it was at the encouragement of a friend and a colleague. And guess who was the coach? Cody Gibson. I became a team captain in that. And it was here in the Sacramento area. I became a team captain. I was only in the business for about a year full time at that point. I was struggling. So I leaned all in on that. And because I just connected with him. Well, long story short, about 6 months after BOLD ended, he posted on social media that he was looking for a listing specialist in Portland, Oregon. So I reached out behind the scenes in the DMs and I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I was in your BOLD about 6 months ago. I'm always looking for a challenge and I saw your post. Conversation started. I went to Portland. We had 2 days of me up there watching and shadowing the MREA level team, Portland Real Estate Group, and then coming home and deciding whether or not we were going to move me and my wife, who didn't have kids at the time, to Portland. And I remember, Marcus, on Friday night at 8:36, he called me because I had been procrastinating on calling him because something just wasn't right. It wasn't him. Yeah. It wasn't the business. It was simply I was running away from something personally at that point in my life. And I was resisting that call. And so he called me because that's what he does. And we got on the phone. He said, hey, well, just want to talk about what this looks like. And ultimately, we decided together that it wasn't the right time for me to move to Portland. However, when I knew I was talking to the right person, when his response to that was, well, let's talk about how we can be in business together there. And that became the impetus for launching our first Inside KW expansion team with me as the anchor agent here in Sacramento, operating off of his platform and financing and support and coaching and leverage. That was 10 years ago. That was actually March. We launched on April 1st of 2013. So it's been 10 years. I started as an agent, then a regional director, moved into a director of sales expansion role, and now the president of the overall companies.
Wow. What a cool story.
It's been fun.
Cody is such an impressive human being too. And I love that it wasn't about just like trying to fit you into a little pinhole section. I love leaders like that are reckless talent. They're like, okay, well, how does it need to work for us to be in business together?
I love that moment.
And then real quickly on KW Clarity, when we say, you know, for a lot of our listeners that aren't in real estate or with KW, we mean Keller Williams, the real estate company that we both affiliate with as well. Mm-hmm. So with the community KW Clarity, I didn't even know that existed until you educated me on that. And I think that's such an interesting and important community that our people need to know about. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and you and I both know that real estate, there's a lot of opportunity for people to, well, unfortunately, go down some dark paths. I was one of those people. And so KW Clarity has been around for a little bit over a year, I believe. I just joined it actually about a month and a half or 2 months ago. It is a community within Keller Williams Communities overall that is geared towards helping those that are struggling with addiction, that have come through their addiction or continue to maintain their sobriety, and others who are maybe affected by someone who's going through that journey or has been through that journey is continuing on it as well. So just recently, I was able to earn the role of Director of Growth and Outreach, which means my responsibility is getting it out there to the Keller Williams leaders and agents so they know that they've got a resource for them if they are one of those. And there are thousands of them in the real estate industry and all industries, of course, who are struggling or who need that additional support to make sure that they're on the right path for their journey of sobriety.
I love this. I think particularly under your leadership, one, I think it's needed, but with the right leader in place like you are, I'm really excited about getting some traction. I think you're going to affect some lives there. So that's really, really cool.
Well, I want to make sure I say that I want to give much gratitude to Shelley for selecting me to be this. She's the community director. We've got a board of directors that are fantastic people, really looking to help others because all of us have experienced it in different ways. However, very similar paths that we're all on.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit because we could sit here and talk about our businesses and all that. All that's fun, but I'm dying to have the conversation on the adventure side. A lot of my listeners know that on my personal mission vision statement, one of the three buckets that I constantly have to be filling for myself is the adventure bucket. I've always got to have that next adventure in front of me, somewhere I'm going. And one of the bullet point lines of my personal mission vision statement, I have it up on my wall here that I look at every morning. It says, when the mountains and sea beckon me, I will always answer their call. And the most difficult tasks yield the most valuable lessons. So for me, it's like there's this idea of being immersed in nature and mountains and doing hard things at the same time as I discover a new layer of myself, which is always so exciting to me. But I wanted to kind of get a feel for you of like, is this something you've always been passionate about in being outdoors, doing these things, or is this something you adopted later in life? And then kind of work into like, how did you ultimately create this goal for yourself of like, I'm going to summit the highest peak in every state in the 50 United States?
Yeah. So to answer the question about kind of timeline wise, I've always loved the outdoors. I've always been drawn to water. In fact, I would have said 5 years ago that water over mountains all day long, and that's completely flipped. Because frankly, and right now you can't see it, however, my foot's tapping. It's not because I'm nervous, and it's not, the only reason is I don't like sitting still. Like Marcus, if you and I were walking and had a camera between us, that would be ideal because yeah. I always have to be on the move. So that's just been my personality from the get-go. So I would have chosen water 5 years ago. And now to me, I love it still. I love it. And it's a little bit more boring for me. I want the challenge of being out there where it is really just you. And you have to muster up the courage, muster up the energy, muster up the fortitude to keep going forward. So I've always loved the outdoors. However, no, I would say actually COVID created, reinvigorated this passion for being outdoors and really challenging myself in the mountains because I can't sit still. So when all of a sudden I go from having an office that I walk around all the time to being stuck in my house, making phone calls and doing meetings, I hated it, man. I had to get up and get out of my house and walk like every 3 hours. Sometimes I'd go for 20 minutes. Sometimes I'd go for 4 hours and just be on the phone or something because I had to be moving. And so then I started wanting to go a little bit further. And so I'd go up the hill. Luckily, I live in an amazing area that's really close to beautiful mountains. Tahoe is only, an hour from me. Yeah. So I could go an hour and be at 6,000 feet elevation or 7,000 feet. And then within another few hours of walking, it could be at 9 or 10,000 feet. And so I started doing that more. And I started realizing, oh my gosh, I miss this. I love this. I go to Yosemite every single year. However, I don't always get to do the bigger things there. Yeah. And so it just started to spiral, like, and it became my release. It became my escape from reality of like, I love my family. I want to be around them. However, I needed to get away from just everything that was happening because I don't like to feed myself with those negative thoughts. And that was pretty much what we were surrounded with for quite a while there. So that's how it actually really started again.
Yeah. That's so cool. There was a book I read several years ago that talked about this principle they teach in Japan. And the word for it is Shinrin Roku. And I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's how I say it.
Sounds right to me.
Right? Thanks. Shinrin Roku is this idea of bathing in nature, is kind of how the definition of it. So bathing in nature, it almost becomes this like spiritual practice. And it really connected with me because like that for me too, we're such busybodies. You talk about you tapping your foot, here I am swaying back and forth because I got to constantly be moving too. But there's something about being outside for me that almost is this spiritual connection that I don't get anywhere else. It's just like this clarity, the fresh air, the views. It's just like these little dots are connected for me that seem blurred in the hustle of the day-to-day world that we have to live in, right? We have to achieve our goals and take care of our families in this world too. But for some reason, the dots are connected a little bit differently for me in that scenario. Why do you think that is? Because it sounds like you have some similar experiences when you're in nature.
You're able to slow down. Nothing truly matters out there other than what you're confronted with or what you're in front of. That's why people think I'm weird. I get up even just when I'm going hiking. I'll get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and drive up to the mountains near Tahoe and just be out there for 4 or 5 hours because I want to be by myself. Mm-hmm. I want that slow quiet so I can really think and go deeper into my thoughts, because you're being pulled in 1,000 different directions, whether it's family or health or business or whatever, all the time. And when you're out there, you truly, especially if it's a challenging one, you truly are focused. And then when you have the opportunity to just sit and kind of reflect on it, like I almost always have at least one moment when I'm on a hike, a climb, whatever it is, where things just kind of coalesce. And all of a sudden my mind, my heart are connected. I'm thinking clearly about things that matter to me. And I almost always come back rejuvenated, both spiritually, both mentally, physically. All those things just seem to kind of come together when you're out there, because nothing else is pulling you, only your thoughts. The only thing that's getting in the way are your thoughts. And you're able to kind of remove some of those, I think, sometimes with the challenge that's out there too.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper on that, because I know I can put myself in that environment. And when you put yourself in an environment, you increase your probability or your chances of being able to make that connection. But also one of the things I struggle with is even if I put myself in that environment, because we have so many things going on and we're honestly, the pace of the world right now is so fast that we have to make so many decisions on a day-to-day basis that even sometimes when I put myself in that environment, I'll find myself 2-3 miles into the run or the hike and almost get frustrated with myself. Cause I'm like, I've put myself in this environment to step away from all this, but my brain is still working on these problems that I'm actually trying to get away from to get overall clarity in my life. Like, do you have any tricks or anything you're doing to like stage to be like, all right, I'm here with purpose. My purpose is that connection, the unplugging. Like, how do you disconnect from the day-to-day Michael brain of I'm fixing problems, I'm leading people, I'm out in front of people, I'm doing my job to, all right, this is about Shinrin Roku.
Yeah. I'll give you a kind of a quick story. I used to push my sons, who are 8 years old now, to go hiking with me quite a bit. And I'm a destination person. That's just my natural inclination, is the destination's that far. Let's get to it. And not, no breaks. Let's just go hustle. I might not even look beyond the trail the entire time. And I realized when I was out on a trail with them one time that they weren't having a lot of fun. Or if they were stopping along the trail and doing things that I would never do. Like, let's look at this plant, or let's look at this rock. Things I used to find joy in. And then I forgot about because I wanted the destination more than the journey. Mm. And so I remember the moment, I remember where we were at Sly Park here in Northern California, and I just stopped. And I said, okay, I'm going to slow down on this, and I'm going to live vicariously through them and see they're enjoying this little thing that I would have never even recognized. And so I started just learning from my kids who are 8 years old. I took a lesson from them. So I took that out to my own solo adventures or even other adventures with adults. And there's a couple tips or tricks I do use. I absolutely take this thing and put it on airplane mode.
Yeah,
I want zero distractions. In fact, a piece of advice Cody gave me a long time ago when we were talking about do not disturb on your phone, things like that, was there's a big difference between giving something attention and having something take attention from you. And so if my phone's in my pocket and it buzzes while I'm out there in the woods, I'm honestly instantly thinking, someone needs me. There's a problem. I got to, who was that? Even if it's not a problem, who was it? What do they want? I want to talk to them. I want to help them. And that's great. However, it completely detracts from the purpose. So I guess disconnecting from those things matters. The other one is the lesson I learned from my kids. I will force myself to stop and just look around and remind myself why I'm out there. Like if it's a burnt out tree, because we've had forest fires around here, I'm like, man, as much as it sucks that happened, like thinking about the life cycle of things and looking at the beauty of it still that's there. And it reminds me that why I'm there. And then the third one is I always have some form of goal as far as like mentally while I'm out there, a question I want to answer for myself, a focus I'm going to have while I'm on the trail, whether it's like, is today about challenging myself to see what I've got in the tank? Is today more about just clearing my head? What is it that I'm out there to accomplish that aids in the enjoyment of the actual trek itself? Not necessarily I'm going to solve the world's problems or I'm going to solve this financial problem for myself. No, it's what am I out here to accomplish for myself so I can go back to the busy hustle bustle of life and family and business more clear.
I love that answer. And because in business, I'm constantly training people like you need to have a preset objective. Like every conversation you go into, you don't just walk into a conversation to see, let's see what happens. You walk in with a preset objective, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of, you know, I've put myself in the environment, but I feel like a lot of times, even though I'm going to do something that I know generally will create that feeling in me, is normally the only preset objective I walk into that is I'm going to go this far. I'm going to keep this pace. I'm going to make it all the way to this waterfall. Because again, we're achievement-based mindset. So I walk into those are my preset objectives. And then the thing that's most important to me on that trail is actually the connection, the spiritual and personal connection I'm going to make, but I'm not setting any real preset objectives around what do I want to accomplish in that. I'm trying to let that happen naturally, which is a mistake that from what you're saying, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense. If I'm that intentional and purposeful on other things, then I should be purposeful on how do I create that connection, not just let that happen naturally. I love that advice. Yeah. Very cool. It's funny how you learn those lessons from your kids, right?
Seriously, man. I mean, even down to I live near Folsom Lake and I camped there when I was a kid too. And my personality is, okay, I've done this. I got to go bigger. I'm going to go bigger. I'm going to go farther, like travel. All of a sudden it was, I got to go farther in the world to see something new. When my kids were born, I took them camping to Folsom Lake when they were maybe 3 or 4 years old. And completely had a different perspective. I'm like, okay, this is new to them. And it's also new to me. And there's so much near here that I can enjoy versus having to go wider, go farther. So they've taught me as many lessons as I've taught them. I guarantee that.
Yeah. It's so cool to see life through your kids' eyes.
Yeah, it really is.
But you have to slow down to do it. Cause I will admit there's times where I'm like, oh, well, I've only got this many hours for this hike or something. And I'm like, should I invite my kids? I'm like, oh, it's going to slow me. It's going to slow me down. But
that's why I go at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Because they're not going to wake up at that time.
Exactly. By the way, that's actually, there's another reason why I go so early. I want to be first on the trail. I love it when a spider web hits me in the face. Cause I know I'm probably the first person on the trail. I'm not going to see a human soul unless they're already out there until I'm on my way down. Usually that's one reason. The other is so I can get home by the time they're awake. Yep. I don't want to miss those moments. I want to make breakfast with them on the weekends. I want to get back so I can do that. And people go, well, man, you're kind of burning the candle a little bit. I go, I know. And I'd rather squeeze this in this time period so I can go and be fully present and have the experiences with them that I want to have too, and not miss those things because of a choice I was going to make for just myself selfishly. And I don't think it's bad to go out and do those things. I'm working on ways to make sure it's time blocked so I can do all the things I want to do.
There's something special about the wee hours of the morning or the late hours into the evening too, that just has a different element of quiet that just is so intriguing to me. It's like, I've got on my phone, I have my business trip pack list. Cause I travel a lot. Cause I go teach a lot. In fact, I'm flying to Boston tomorrow, but it's funny, on my business pack list, I've got a headlamp, which most people don't have that on their business trip pack list, but I love to throw my headlamp in, just be like, man, if I end up somewhere where there's a cool mountain or a trail or something, I want to be able to like go either late into the evening one night or early the next morning. So I love those earlier late nights too.
I'm going to start doing that. Thank you for that tip.
All right. So when did you create this goal? You have this passion and love for the outdoors. When did you create this goal of summiting all 50, the highest peaks in all 50 states?
Yeah, it just kind of came to me, Oliver. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was at the Experience Series, which is a Cody Gibson event thing he does usually every year, where people come in from around the country or even some different countries to mastermind for a couple of days and to get to know each other, network. And he challenged us during one of those, I think it was 2020, it must have been August of 2021. And he said part of the day was, I want you to create a goal for yourself that's personal, that's going to stretch you, that's really important to you. And during that time, again, COVID, some shutdowns are gone at that point. However, still just not the same world I was used to and not the one I wanted to be a part of exactly. So I want to get away from people. I want to get away from that stuff. I'm already going out into the woods a lot. And what would be really cool? And that goes back to the comment I made about my kids and seeing it through their eyes being, wow, I'm experiencing Folsom Lake for the first time again. Well, there's so much in the United States that I've never seen. And I figured, I want to go up big hills. I like going up, even though there's only a few of them on the East Coast. I want to go up big hills. And so why don't I get to see the country? Why don't I get to go meet cool people out there that aren't part of my normal bubble and do something that will force me to really prepare and plan, which I suck at, and then really dig into, because I do things fast. I'm not going to go one trip at a time and do one state and fly home. It's expensive, takes a lot of time, and I wanted to do it in 4 years. Yeah. That's going to really force me to dig deep into the tank. And so he came to me, it was my turn to speak. And I just kind of said, you know what, I'm going to touch the top of the tallest point in every state in the United States. I'm going to do it in 5 years. I said, I gave myself 4 years to do it. And that just kind of, once I said it out loud, it was a commitment. And when I commit to something, I'm likely going to follow through. Even if it doesn't happen in the time frame I said it would, I will follow through. So it will happen.
That's very cool. How many years ago was that?
I think that was August 2021. I always forget if it was 2020 or 2021. I'm almost positive that it was 2021.
Yeah. So how many peaks have you hit so far?
24.
24. Oh, man.
24. Yeah, I've squeezed some in. I've got some room. I've got some time. I've got a lot more to go, though. And I'm leaving the biggest and baddest for the end. That's Denali in Alaska. It's over 20,000 feet, and you're on the mountain for 12 to 17 days. They call it a mini Everest because it's kind of like that. They train on it for Everest a lot of times. Yeah. Saving that one. I want to do that by the time, by 2025.
Awesome. Good for you. Yeah. That's very cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm just all of a sudden thinking through some of these really flat states in the country, like which one are you like, oh, I got to go do it, but it's really not that impressive. Like,
you know, there's a lot of them actually. Florida is, I think, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Britton or Brighton Hill. It's 345 feet above sea level. And you, it's a joke. And you know what? I'll get to see a part of the country I never got to see before. And I'll make sure it's part a leg of a trip. I just did in September of last year, I did 9 states in 4 days.
Oh,
I did
wow.
With my best friend. Yeah, we left from Ohio and went through 9 states in a big loop all the way back to his house because a lot of them are drive-ups. You drive up to the parking lot, you walk 50 feet and go tap and you're done. You're back in the car and you drive to the next state.
Yeah.
And so that one was really about the experience and getting as many in as possible. So Britton Hill or Brighton Hill in Florida. Kansas is one I've actually already done. And that one was at the very end of a leg of a trip where I went to Austin, Texas actually for, it was KW Wealth. And then I flew to Albuquerque that night at the end of it on a Friday, drove 3.5 hours into the mountains and slept in my car for 2.5 hours, got up and did the tallest one in New Mexico. And then I drove over to, which by the way, it was 43 degrees. Then I drove over to Oklahoma and did Black Mesa where it was 107 degrees. And I almost died on the trail because I didn't have enough water.
Oh.
And I got back in my car and drove to Kansas. And I did all this in 30 hours because I had a plane booked back to Sacramento from Denver at 6 a.m. the next morning. So a day, 2 nights. And Kansas is literally a mound in the middle of a cornfield. And I'm there in the middle of the night. It's dark. It's windy. It's rustling. And the only thing I'm thinking about is there's some blonde-headed kids out here that are going to come out and murder my ass. And so I got the headlights on. I got the brights going. I put it right in front of the monument. I looked around my car, got out of the car. And I don't think I've run that fast in my last 10 years. I ran picture, got back in the car, and I drove the hell out of that place. So that literally, I drove up right to where it said Mount Sunflower. You're at like 4 feet. So
that's too funny.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question. I want to get to the cool stories here in a second, hear about some of your favorites. But as you're talking about some of these, there's a lot of times when you set goals, there's these, like you did Mount Shasta this last week, it was probably so monumental and such a cool experience and kind of really fulfilling versus down there walking up to that hill and just touching something and being like, I think that's really relevant in setting big goals for a lot of us, is there's moments that we are filled with all this excitement and a sense of accomplishment, but there's a lot of goal achievement that is just monotony of like, I mean, realistically, you slept for 2 hours in your car, hit all those states. It would have been really easy for you to be like, why am I doing this? Like, why don't I just change my goal to hit the cool peaks?
Yep.
And not do all the other ones. Like, why, how do you stay so committed to the not fun part of keeping a goal?
Well, first of all, I get that question from my wife constantly. Why are you doing those ones? Because they're part of it. I made the commitment, and yeah, I think it's important in life to be able to be flexible and say, well, I made this commitment with this thought, this information, these feelings around it, and things have changed. So I'm going to pivot towards something else. For me though, it comes back to there's a couple things. What's the purpose behind it? It's really to challenge myself. And that leg of that trip was just about the grind. It was truly about, I've got enough in me to not sleep for 2 days. I've got enough in me to go and do a pretty high peak in New Mexico and then drive into the desert and then drive into the cornfields. I want to see if I can do this.
Yeah.
And so it's really about the grind, because every time I come back from a trip like that, and like you mentioned, I did Shasta on Monday and Tuesday. That was different. That's not even a high point. Shasta is not a high point. However, it's a majestic mountain I wanted to go up. That was about, okay, shorter term. However, how much challenge can I put myself through? Because every time I do, whether it's the drive to Kansas or it's the Mount Shasta, I'm doing Hood in 3 weeks in Oregon. Every time I come back from that, everything else here, I'm in my office right now, everything else here seems a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
When a problem shows up, I'm like, all right, we can work through that. It's not like being at 14,000 feet and wanting to sleep and not go down. Yeah. It's not like being in the desert, or I guess the high plains of Oklahoma, where the sun is beating down, you 107 degrees, you have 1 liter of water for 9 miles. That was stupid, by the way. Always plan and prepare. I come back, I'm like, all right, well, what did I learn from that? I learned that the problems that most of us make into big old mountains are really the Kansas hills. So why not just take them in stride? So I learned so much that applies to business.
Such a good lesson. Yeah, I think this is interesting because you know, we think about how much grit it takes to succeed in life, period. But I think we also have got into this society that we think, when we think of grit, we think of like a David Goggins or a Jocko, or you know, these guys that obviously have buckets of grit in their life and can do incredible things. But I think if you dug behind it, the amount of just little hills they've done and done things like don't have to do it, but the integrity for myself is I said I was going to do it, so I am going to do it. All of those little add-ups of grit is what ultimately adds up to that bucket full of grit that shows up in the moment of like, all right, when the storm shows up, I've already made the deposit into my grit bank account. Like, I can handle this. I think when we wait for those things to come and we haven't done all the little things, kept our commitments and done those things, that's when the storm comes and we're like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Do this.
100%. Just earlier today, I was on a coaching call with someone and I mentioned a quote from John Maxwell about the best way to create big long-term wins is to stack a lot of short-term ones that are based in integrity and character first. Like, I made this, and other coaches I know, it's the things are built on the backs of micro commitments. Like, I make this little commitment and I win and I do it. I follow through and I do this one and I do this one. So part of the reason I'm doing this is because I said I would.
Yeah.
I say I will, then I'm going to.
Yeah. Which to me is the simplest definition of integrity, right? A lot of people talk about how important integrity is to them. And it's always interesting to me when someone says, oh, one of my highest value traits is integrity. And I almost want to ask the question like, well, did you keep your personal commitments today? The simplest one is they set an alarm clock for themselves to get up at a certain time today. Did you get up at that time? Right. Did you do like the simplest thing? We give up on our integrity on the simplest things. Yet we all claim that that is one of our highest value traits. And it really is a pattern of, do I do the things that I say that I'm going to do?
One of my mentors and I were speaking about 3 years ago. In fact, I think we were in Yosemite going up Half Dome. And he was telling me about how he was really proud of himself for always hitting the big commitments, the big integrity pieces. Like, I didn't cheat. I did these things. I paid my taxes, all the biggest stuff that you would think about in life. And then he kind of got a little bit morose about it. And he's like, and yet I was pretty consistently missing the little ones. And those little ones kind of add up over time to bigger ones, especially when they're with other people or yourself. And so I heard that, I go, okay, the little ones matter as much as the big ones, because I can't get to the big ones or I can't sustain the big ones unless I actually do the small ones first and consistently. And it just, it hit me so hard because it was a personal thing I won't share. However, it's like, oh, I understand that. You broke your promise about this one little thing, which is, you said about depositing into the bank of grit. It's also about the deposits or the bank account of personal relationships. Like I made a withdrawal. These little tiny ones didn't seem consequential. And then, oh shoot, mm-hmm. It was a big thing. It turned into a big thing.
So interesting. I just, my brain's working on all this right now. Just like, all right, well, where, you know, cause it's so easy to focus on the big things we're doing and keeping those commitments. But I'm like, what little commitments have I not purposely put by the wayside, but yeah. Because there's so much noise on these big things that I may be missing the mark on some of these other perceptually smaller commitments, but in the scale of life, maybe even more important on a bigger scale.
The way I look at it is this. If I took my wife and kids on a 2-week vacation every year and just showered them with love and activities and adventure and fun, and then I ignored them the other 50 weeks of the year, that vacation sucked.
Yeah.
Life sucks. And so it's like, okay, well, it's those daily things, those little things. And by the way, we're going to screw up. We're going to have, you know, hurt or damage our own integrity and character by messing up on the little things for ourselves and for others. We're going to, it's just life. It's going to happen. It's about how, and this is again, my mentor speaking, it's about how you go back and clean it up with the person, the way they feel it needs to be cleaned up, as long as it's realistic. Like if I screwed up with you, Marcus, I'm going to come to you and say, hey man, I am sorry. I told you I would do this. I didn't do it. I screwed up. That's on me, not you. How do I make this better? How do I clean this up with you? As long as what you say to me is something that's reasonable, I'm going to do everything in my power to clean it up with you because I care about you and I care about that integrity. More so, I care about my own integrity and character while also caring about the person on the other side. I think it needs to be both. And so that I'm... saying I'm sorry or I don't know or I'm going to clean that up is not a bad thing. And people give it such like the ego so much attached. I'm like, no, if I fucked, sorry. If I messed up, I'm going to say that and I'm going to eat that ego. It's okay because I care about you and this more than I care about my ego.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Couldn't agree more. So let's, I'd love to hear what's been your favorite peak you've done so far.
It has to be so far Mount Shasta. Even though it wasn't one of the tall ones, I'll go two answers there because it was the second attempt. We went up 2 years ago and got our asses kicked. Mm. And we got blown off about 12,500 feet. There were three of us with two guides and one of us went down around 11.5. I went down around 12.2. Cody got up farther and the guide was like, we're not getting there. So we can keep going or we can turn around. And Cody pressed on a little bit and then turned back around. So we all had it in us to go back and do it. And he and I were able to make it to the summit on Tuesday morning. So that was awesome. That took a lot of planning and preparation. And I wrote down a note before our time here together that I actually wrote in an article for this. I'm doing a series with someone around this whole journey over the course of these years. And I wrote down that all the planning and preparation in the world, they matter. However, it matters not even a little bit if you don't have the will or the commitment to actually go to the top. And so I think that's important to understand that Shasta was about planning and preparation. I had to train for it. I had to be in the best shape of mountain climbing that I've been in a long time. However, there were at least a dozen, if not three dozen or 10 dozen times on that mountain where I said, this is stupid. I'm not cut out for this. Mm. And then it was a stop talking like that, remove the limiting belief and say, you did this for a reason. There's a purpose behind this. Take the next step. And sometimes it was, I'd have to pause and say the same thing, the next step. And then sometimes it was 50 feet. Sometimes it was 500 yards, not usually that far. and reminding myself constantly. So that would be the best peak overall. However, on the journey of this, Mount Elbert. Mount Elbert is a 14,400 foot or so peak in Colorado. I did it on October 2nd, 2021. So pretty soon after I made that commitment. The reason it's so important to me, because that was my first real test of myself. I'd done Whitney, which is the tallest in the lower 48. That was a hike. It was a really hard hike with my best buddy. Elbert, though, was a lot of logistics, a lot of burning the candle. So long story short, I don't like to take a lot of time away from my family. I don't like to take a lot of time away from the business. So I flew out of Sacramento on, I think, like 4 or 5 o'clock on a Friday, got into Denver, rented a car, drove into the mountains. This sounds like a similar story from before.
Yeah.
I found a Roach Motel in the middle of the night, got there at 2:30 in the morning, got up at 4:15 and hit the trailhead to summit a 14,000 foot peak with a little bit of snow at the top. Did that and it challenged the heck out of me. and then came all the way down, got in my car, drove back to Denver, got on a plane so I could be home the next night. So I could see my kids that night and have the whole day on Sunday with my family.
Oof.
That one hurt.
Yeah.
So it was cool to get a 14er out. You know, it was my second 14er. That was cool. And it was more about, I don't want to be away from you, Jamie. I don't want to be away from you, Jack or Max. I'm going to go see if I can do this. And yeah. it took a lot. I am the guy. I apologize for the person that was sitting next to me that drooled all over someone's shoulder on the plane on the way home. That I have never fallen asleep that fast on a plane before the wheels even got off the ground. I was snoring and drooling on somebody. So my apologies to that stranger.
I bet you were out. I bet your legs were stiff climbing off that plane.
Done. Totally done. That was my favorite because of all the things I had to go into it. It forced me to plan. Like I didn't know where I was going to be at a certain time and how much time I was going to have if I was going to make it back to my plane ride to get back to my family. So I had to hustle.
Do you do that one on solo?
I do almost all of them solo.
Do you?
I guess that's not true. It's about 50-50. I've done out of the 24 of the 50 I've accomplished so far, I think I've done half by myself.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. And then, just out of curiosity, you started on that one. You started trailhead at 4:15. What time did you summit? How many hours did that take?
It's not a terribly long hike. I think you do about 5,000 feet of gain. I believe I summited right around 10-ish, maybe. Yeah, between 9 and 10 a.m. And then came on down in about 3 hours and hopped in the car and drove for another three.
Okay, relatively quick.
Yeah.
Are you running any of this stuff? Are you running the flats on that stuff? Are you just really
crazy? No. On certain hikes, I'll jog down if they're not too bad. On the bigger ones, no. By the time I'm on my way down, even when I train really hard for them, on the way down, my legs are wobbly. On Shasta, every time we paused on the way down, my legs would just start quivering.
Yeah.
And so there's not a lot of jog going on the flats.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Good for you. I want to go back to that quote you gave for your article. I think that's a really relevant conversation for this group. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, and you can clean it up on the back end. But when you talk about all the planning and preparation in the world, don't matter if you don't have the will to back it up, right? The will, the power, the mindset to be able to execute on it. And honestly, I think this is one of the biggest things that plagues our economy and our industry right now is we live in this era where everyone is thinking big, talking big, making big goals, have beautiful vision boards, all of those things. And even to the point of putting together a game plan on what they need to do to make it happen. Mm-hmm. We have this problem with execution.
Yeah.
And I think I see this over and over and over again, where I see incredibly talented people that are just coming up short on their goals and getting discouraged. And it isn't a matter of them not having a plan. A lot of the times it isn't a matter of them not having the tools, the equipment, all of those things. It really comes down to their ability to hold themselves accountable to the execution. Are you seeing that a lot in our industry with entrepreneurs too?
I see it with everybody. And myself included at times. I see it everywhere because until you step on the trail, until you step into the arena, until you step onto the field of business, it sounds good in your head. And it's why I often encourage people to, if you have a thought and something you want to act on, great, take it out of your head and put it on paper. Obviously, this is simple stuff. Yep. And then say it out loud, and then say it out loud to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because what goes on up here then translates to paper, it looks different. And then you say it out loud, it sounds different. You say it to somebody else, you get this feeling, this emotion, and I'm like, okay, wait a second, I might need to go back and do this. Or am I really committed to it? And so I always will pepper people with questions when they come at me with goals. In fact, there's three things I'm thinking about right now. And you mentioned one of the names earlier, Jocko Willink. His thing about, I'd rather have someone come to me with a 70% effective plan and 100% commitment to it than me give them a 100% effective plan and they have 50% commitment to it.
Yes.
All day, every day. So, and then that leads into the other quote I was thinking about is Tony Robbins, the enemy of execution is complexity. Simplify. Like, what's the next step? Two coaching calls I had before this today was simply, what's the next step? I don't care about what's happening out there. Yes, we have a goal. We have a purpose. We have a drive towards that. However, what's the next step? What's the one thing that's going to happen right now that can actually move you forward? Take that step. And then let's worry about the next one.
Yes.
And that happens on the mountain a lot or on the trails. Whether it's flat and hot or steep and cold, it's the okay, it's way out there. Yeah, still, you got to take one more step before you can get there. And then you got to take one more step. So why not just focus on executing the next step in the plan versus thinking? And it reminds me of a real quick story of my wife. I love her so much. And yet she was so caught up when she was starting her business in the end result of things that she was forgetting about the steps that were immediate. And so I coached her a little bit, which is hard to do sometimes with your spouse. I just asked her some questions and we chunked it all the way down. It's another Tony Robbins thing. Chunk it down. What is the absolute next step? And for her, it was signing up for a certification. And then 3 months later, when we were laying in bed and I asked her about it and it hadn't been done, I rolled over on my side and I got on my phone and I bought it for her. And I said, you're signed up. Now the process can start. And now she has a successful fitness and nutrition coaching business. And I'm not taking any credit for that whatsoever. She's done all the work. All it took though, was that one step to get going. So we overcome the inertia of just sitting still. And then the ball gets to start rolling. And then she just tapped it and that thing started spinning faster and rolling faster. And that's sometimes what people need is just that little nudge to take that first step. And then they take the next one on their own.
Yeah. I really believe that's true. This idea of the, a plan doesn't have to be perfect. And a lot of times the perfection of the plan shows up in motion.
Yeah.
Like, because you have perspective, new information along the way. You're like, oh, I now I'm seeing the information now that I'm down the path of how this is supposed to be coming together. I think a lot of times we miss the mark. We want to know what every step is. But one of the things I've learned is if you're starting at the beginning, and you have the end that you want to get to, it's we actually think there's way more steps to execute on that than really needs be, right? And ultimately, like if you really line it up and look backwards when you get there and be like, oh, that's half as many steps as I thought it was going to take for me to get here. But you really can't discover that until you're moving forward, right?
Exactly.
It's the same thing like when you're looking at one of these big mountains to accomplish. Like for a lot of people looking at it, being like, man, to hike up 14,000 feet, that seems ridiculous, so long. But by the time you get there and back, you're like, oh, okay. If I could do that, what else can I do?
Yeah. Right? It's always a confidence booster. And even when you get blown off the mountain or you don't make it to the summit, there's lessons in there. And there's a lot of wins inside there if you're willing to look for them. That's how I coach too, is look for the wins and all the things. The John Maxwell quote I mentioned earlier, I've not made it to the top of plenty of them. And while I'm disappointed, I'll go back and I will get there. At some point I'll get there because I'm not going to give up on that goal. However, what did I take from the process? What did I take from the journey and how can I apply that to everything else? Yeah. It's this adventure, this commitment has done so much for me and so much for my family too. And just this last trip, I didn't know it until I was done. My son Max apparently saw all my gear on the table and got really worried that I might not make it, meaning die. And apparently when I left, he started crying and my wife told me when I got down off the mountain. And so it opened up conversation and we had this deep, deep conversation on Tuesday night or Wednesday when I got home, took him to karate and we were able to have this really deep conversation about being willing to challenge yourself and set hard goals and being smart and being safe at the same time. Like I consider the things I'm doing, the bigger ones, and I'll be doing bigger ones from this point forward, that they're low risk, high consequence. Like if you're smart and you back to the quote, if you prepare and you plan and you train for this, the risk is actually relatively low. It's the consequence that's really high if you screw up. And so I'm looking to take out all business, life, climbing. I'm looking to take out all as much of the risks as I can, knowing that it's always going to be there. However, how do I personally prepare for that? And then the will to keep going, the commitment to keep going is what takes me to the actual top. The skill set, the prep, the planning, all that stuff keeps me safe while I'm doing it and allows me the energy to complete it. The will and the commitment is what shows up constantly. It has to. Otherwise, you will not make it in almost anything.
Man, so well said. Man, Mike, I've really, really loved this conversation. This is what I love about this platform of the podcast and the whole enchilada is even though I get a lot of people that lean into these conversations and listen, the honest truth is this is for me more than anybody else is just these conversations because they're just constant reminders of me of how good life is, how much responsibility we have to create the life we want. And it's also really reassuring to know that there's other really talented, incredible people out there that face some of the same challenges and at the same time have the grit and decision power to like attack those challenges and obstacles and grow. Cause it's everyone out there, everyone we pass, everyone we look in the eye in the grocery store we're passing is faced with some element of a challenge. Mm-hmm. We're not unique in what we're facing. We just are different places down the down the path, but I just I love these conversations for that matter. So thank you for sharing with me today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So here's a couple of ahas I had that from the conversation today. And then what I'd like you to do is any last words, any parting words you want to leave for our community today. But the couple of things that really stood out to me in our conversation today was this, that, you know, we get so fixated on the Mount Everests that we're trying to accomplish that we forget the importance of all of the little accomplishments along the way that are part of the story. I imagine you talked about Denali being the final one, the one you're going to do. I just imagine you on top of that. You've done the 49 other states, you get at the top of that. And I imagine you being on top of that mountain and not only celebrating the success of that mountain, but a culmination of all the mountains, all the pieces, the small little hill in Florida and the one in Kansas. But there you are on number 50. And I think all of them will come to a summation of importance to you as you hit that one. And I think about that in our business relationship, was we want to so focus on the Everest that we're trying to accomplish within our business, but we can't forget the one we have to do today as a part of the story. And so I really encourage our listeners today, because business is challenging right now. We have to reinvent ourselves. We have to rethink things. We have to go back and reapproach problems we thought we already fixed and habits we've already created in our world. And I think some people are feeling some frustration about putting time and energy into those things right now, but just know they are part of your Everest. They're part of your bigger story. I encourage you to embrace them differently. Don't look at them as a task or a burden, but just embrace them as part of your journey of what you're trying to accomplish on the bigger picture. And I promise you that when you're sitting at the top of your Denali, you'll look back and recognize that all of those little things that we're focused on right now are the culmination that made the Denali possible. So this is the make or break economy for a lot of us, a lot of our people. And I'm just really encouraged with this group of being the community that we're going to lean on each other and continue to grow forward. So thank you for that lesson for me today. Any last parting words from you today?
Sure. I'll give you my personal motto. I created this on the top of Mount Friel in Tahoe. It's the tallest peak in the Tahoe area. It's make a habit of going places not easily reached. And it's because it's not just about going up a mountain. It's about everything. How can I go where it's harder to reach with my personal life? How can I go deeper with my wife and with my kids to really connect with them at a different level, with my colleagues, with my partners, myself, and of course the outdoors too. Making a habit of going places not easily reached forces me to think, am I staying shallow here? Am I staying on the surface here? Or can I go a lot deeper with this to make an actual bigger impact for myself and those around me? That question alone fuels me on a constant basis.
Well, I love it. I'm going to steal it. I like it a lot.
I trademarked it.
Thank you again for spending the time with me. Appreciate the time. And I really have just really appreciated and honor our new friendship. So thanks for being on the call today.
Same.
Enchilada Nation, you know the drill. Take some time, self-reflection, pick up what you needed to hear today. And I just encourage you to go live life on your terms. Thanks, everybody.